Beloved, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 124. And remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord Yahweh, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Indeed, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever, and may he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. Pray with me once again, our gracious God and Father. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, if you think about it enough, you'll see that this little psalm is a truly remarkable psalm. Remarkable in the sense that it was ever written in the first place. Let me explain what I mean. Many commentators think that Psalm 124 was written at the beginning of Israel's golden age, at a time when the borders of Israel had expanded to places never seen before. In fact, it's possible that when Psalm 124 was written, Israel's borders expanded and encompassed over 44,000 square miles. Indeed, it was an empire in the making. And humanly speaking, there was one reason for it. One reason. And that was David, the king of Israel and the author of this psalm. Before we begin, I want to read to you just a short list of some of David's accomplishments shortly after he was anointed as the king over both Judah and Israel. It's from 2 Samuel 8. Just a short list of some of David's accomplishments. It says this. It says, after David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, he then defeated Moab. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought him tribute. David then defeated the son of Rehob, the king of Zobah, as he went to restore his power at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help the king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 men of the Syrians. And then David put garrisons in Aram of Damascus. And the Syrians became servants to David, and they too brought him tribute. And David made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all of Edom, he put garrisons. And all of the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. And so David reigned over all of Israel, and David administered justice and equity to all his people. Indeed, everyone loved David. They universally bowed down to David. They were thankful to God for him and for his rule and reign and for inaugurating this golden age. And if truth be told, that list, that impressive list I just read to you, doesn't even scratch the surface when it comes to all that David accomplished and all the fame and glory he brought both to himself and to Israel. Honestly, it doesn't scratch the surface. And so it's remarkable, in my mind at least, that David wrote Psalm 124 from the perspective that he did. And that was from a perspective of humility and self-effacement. Humility and self-effacement from an understanding that were it not for the Lord's help, both he and the people would be utterly lost. Utterly lost. Again, it's remarkable when you think about what David did in his lifetime, the attitude from which he wrote this psalm. It's just remarkable. Now, many commentators think that David wrote this psalm shortly after his decisive victory over the hated Philistines, and it's described in 2 Samuel 5. And they think this because of the dynamics of the battle and the specific mission that the Philistines had and all the danger involved. It closely matches the specifics that David writes about in Psalm 124. And so I want us to look at this psalm, this truly remarkable psalm. And I want us to keep in mind that as we go through this psalm, it was written by a man who enjoyed unparalleled success and fame in the ancient Near East. The title. Let's look at the title first. It says, A Song of Ascents of David, which means it was one of 15 psalms or songs of ascent. These are psalms that the Israelites would sing on their way to the Temple Mount during one of the three great annual feasts. And it's called a song of ascent because the Israelites literally had to ascend up to the Temple Mount. Israel was on the top of a hill. The temple was on the top of a hill. And they would sing it. And they would pray it as they would go up to the temple to worship. It was tradition. Let's look at verse 1. And just imagine in your mind's eye the Israelites happily, joyously singing this psalm as they prepared their hearts for worship. Verse 1, David says, he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. In other words, for any of you Israelites who are tempted to take pride in our accomplishments, for any of you Israelites who are tempted to take credit for the victory that we just accomplished, okay, let me disabuse you of that notion here and now. Because if the Lord hadn't been on our side, I wouldn't be writing this psalm to you right now. We wouldn't be having this dialogue. Make no mistake about it. If the Lord had not been on our side. And so he fleshes out what that means in verses 2 and 3. Let's look at these verses together. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. And so this is the first of four very vivid, very powerful images designed to help the people emotionally connect with where they'd be without the Lord's help. Okay, and the first image is that of a predator. A predator swallowing its prey. This enemy is fierce. This enemy is powerful. Okay, and this enemy would stop at nothing in its quest to destroy the Lord's people, to eradicate them off the face of the earth. Now, the Hebrew word to swallow is a metaphor for death. And so that was the end goal. The end game here was simple. To utterly destroy and annihilate the Lord's people. And if you go back to 2 Samuel 5, it's kind of fascinating, like from a military standpoint, what the Philistines wanted to do. What the Philistines wanted to do is to capture David. Specifically, the point of the mission was to capture David, take him down, most likely execute him, and parade him in front of the people and break the back of Israel and take down the kingdom. That was the goal. And so the predator animal metaphor is appropriate. So I would say Israel was simply outmatched by the Philistines. Okay? They couldn't compare. 9 times out of 10, the Philistines would have totally overwhelmed the Lord's people in this particular battle. That's the first image. Okay? A predator swallowing its prey, destroying its prey. Now, the second image is that of a flood submerging its victims. Verses 4 and 5. Look with me. Then the flood would have swept over us, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. So the idea here is captured by the Hebrew term torrent. Okay? Verse 4b, the torrent would have gone over us. Now, the Middle Eastern word for torrent could also be translated wadi. You may have heard that. It's like a dry riverbed. And those dry riverbeds were all over Israel in the middle of the valleys and whatnot. There were dry riverbeds everywhere or riverbeds that barely contained a trickle. Now, those wadis or those riverbeds could go from a trickle to a raging torrent in hours. I mean, in the blink of an eye, that thing could turn into a raging river. And that should be especially relevant to us in light of what just happened in Arkansas in the early morning hours of June 11th, when this I think it's the Caddo or Cato River, it literally rose from 3 feet to 23 feet in 8 hours. The devastation was unprecedented in that area of the country. And if you saw the news or the media telecast, it was overwhelming what the power of water can do, as it just utterly annihilated everything in its path. And so this image of a flash flood would have also been of particular relevance to the Israelites who lived in the middle of all these wadis and these dry riverbeds, and they had personally experienced what those camper experienced. Numerous times as the river just overwhelmed them. I'm sure many of you have been close to a swollen river at some time in your life, and you know how awe-inspiring it can be. I can remember standing close to swollen rivers as a child and just getting nervous even being close to it. That's what he compares the Philistines to this raging river, this torrent that comes out of nowhere and just overwhelms everything in its path. Such was the magnitude of this threat. Now, the third image was that of an animal actually feeding on its prey. It's a bit graphic. Look at verse 6. Blessed be Yahweh, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Now, this is a different image than the one presented in verse 3 because it highlights the agonies of defeat as the animal very slowly grinds away on the dead carcass. Okay, the death of the prey being slow and agonizing and gradual. And that's exactly what would have been the case in Israel if the Philistines would have captured and killed David and taken over the kingdom. You have to know what would have happened if that would have been the case. The Philistines would have poured in. They would have poured in. They would have executed almost all of the adult men. Many of the teenage boys, they would have had their way with the women. They would have slowly but surely eradicated all threats in the country and completely taken it over. It would have been awful. Absolutely awful. We have no frame of reference for what it would be like to be taken over by a merciless foe. We just have no frame of reference. Well, last but not least, David uses the images of a bird caught in a trap or a snare to show the precariousness of the situation that the Lord's people faced. Look at verse 7. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. One commentator puts it this way. He says, most vividly of all, the last metaphor presents the ordeal as one that had already been advanced. With the enemy's grip, a present fact, his army already in a dominating position. In other words, there was absolutely no way the Israelites should have gotten out of this. There was no way they should have escaped the threat of the Philistines. And yet, that's exactly what they did. Against all odds, that is precisely what they did. In 2 Samuel 5, it's fascinating. The Lord told David, he said, don't directly assault this foe. Go around behind them. Ambush them from behind the balsam trees and take them down from there. And that's exactly what David did. And we don't understand exactly what happened or why it happened. But the Philistines were confused. Terror was struck in their heart. And the Israelites just utterly annihilated them, overwhelmed them, and took them down. And it was a glorious day. It was a glorious day in Israel, a day that would be celebrated for generations, how the Lord delivered the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. And to me, it is remarkable that in retrospect, David didn't look back in time and at least to some degree take credit for the victory. It would have been very easy for David to swell up with sinful pride in terms of what he and his men were able to accomplish. You know, when he would think back and look back and he would survey all those victories, it would be very easy for him to take credit for what he did. And instead, it served as an occasion for overwhelming thanks and gratitude. That's what Psalm 124 is at the end of the day. It gave David the opportunity to play a theological what-if game. Now, I would imagine that every single adult in this room has played the what-if game in some version or another, you know. In social settings, you know, the what-if games are great icebreakers. Like, what if someone gave me $1 million? Okay, what would I do with it? What if I was stranded on a deserted island with only one person? Who would it be? It'd be my wife, Stephanie, of course. You know, you could think of a million of these questions, and over the years, I have thought of a million of these questions and opposed them to Stephanie, much to her chagrin. She thinks I'm too curious and creative in those ways, and she doesn't like to play those games, but we play them a lot. But I assure you, David's what-if game, it was no icebreaker. Not by a long shot. It was a necessary and useful exercise to help the Lord's people emotionally connect with where they would be if the Lord had not been on their side, of getting them to taste it and to feel it and to own it. Okay, to meditate. Lord, where would we be without your help? And so what I want to do briefly is just read through the whole psalm so that you can feel it. Okay, so that you can feel the punch that it delivers. It's a very short psalm. Just listen with me. Don't read. Just listen. Listen to David praying this. Listen to David leading the country in this prayer. David says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say." Okay, don't say anything else. Don't think anything else. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. And so blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. And so our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." In other words, our success as a nation is due completely and entirely on Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. And I assure you, my friends, that message is timeless. It is timeless. And it's every bit as applicable to us as it was during David's day. In fact, I would say it's more applicable to us in light of what we know about redemption this side of the cross. We know much more than they did. Because the images presented by David, okay, in Psalm 124 only depicted the external and the physical. That's as far as they went, okay? And we know that our chief concern far exceeds the external and the physical. Our chief concern is with our sin and with the consequences of our sin. Our chief concern is with the spiritual forces that bring themselves to bear against us in their unending quest to destroy our soul. Our situation is much more precarious than theirs was. And so I want us to think about it and play another little what-if game, okay? And I want us to think about this. And to come to grips with this and to think about this the rest of this Lord's Day. What if the Lord had not chosen you before the foundation of the world? How much do you meditate on that? What if the Lord Jesus Christ had not set his affection on you before time began? Where would you be? What if the Lord Jesus Christ, at the time of his choosing, had not taken out your stony heart and replaced it with a heart of flesh? Where would you be? Where would you be today if the Lord Jesus Christ had not kept your feet on the path of discipleship all the days of your life since your conversion? Where would you be? Where would you be if the Lord Jesus Christ had not given you the grace to allow you to wake up this morning? Where would you be if the Lord Jesus Christ had not given you food to eat and shelter to live in? Okay, where would you be without the help of the Lord? You would be lost. You would be facing judgment for all of eternity if the Lord was not on your side. Where would you be? Well, I can tell you where you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here worshiping the Lord. You wouldn't have the slightest inclination in your heart to serve or love your Lord. Not the slightest inclination. And your life really would have no ultimate meaning or value if the Lord had not redeemed you. You'd be empty, and you would try 1,000 things to fill that void, all to no avail. Such is the predicament for unbelievers. You'd feel that emptiness. You'd know that emptiness. You know that your life really ultimately had no meaning or value. You would be lost were it not for the amazing grace and sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who faced every terror of this psalm so that you and I would never have to. Were it not for the fact that the Lord Jesus didn't escape from the snare of the fowler, okay, we'd be lost. We'd be hopeless. And so today I want us to praise him and to thank him and to show gratitude for him, for who he is and for all that he has done. And when you're tempted to take pride in your accomplishments, when you're tempted to think that you really are somebody or that you've done something, then you need to understand that if it were not for the fact that the Lord Jesus were on your side, you would be totally lost. And so our next response should be to praise him and to thank him and give him all the glory. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for who you are and for all that you have done. Father, we recognize that if the Lord had not been on our side, let the people of Providence Presbyterian Church now say, if the Lord was not on our side when the spiritual forces of darkness rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. The flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters, the waters of judgment. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Blessed be our God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen and amen. And let's